With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh, you're killing me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome back to another road edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. I say road edition because, you know, I'm on the way home, but
I'm at home.
Yeah, you at home. The Warriors are at home. You know, it's going to sound weird, but I thought it was like, in some ways, it's one of their better wins of the season. Like, Magic are pretty good. You know, they're 19-13. They're young. They're athletic. They do stuff that I think has bothered this Warriors team. And, you know, they're coming off two bad losses, but three losses in a row. And it's just, if you just consider timing and the fact that I thought, like, this is kind of a tricky opponent to play at this time. I just thought the way they mostly controlled the game. I mean, they had some bad moments here and there, but, you know, they outplayed the Magic. Steph Curry was really good, which they needed to see, right? Because Steph has been in this kind of mini slump. Well, he had 35, 12 of 20 shooting. You don't come out of that game. I don't think you do, Marcus Thompson, coming out of that game like, wow, you know, season-turning win. But it's like, you know, it was a kind of had-to-have-it win, and they got it.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing that points to what you're talking about is, like, that's the type of opponent that they lose to. Like, the size, the athleticism, the youth, the energy. Like, Jamal Mosley has them, like, they play hard all the time, right? They're constantly attacking. They've got, like, you know, six guys they can bring off the bench that are all, like, good athletes who, you know, play defense and play hard. Like, those teams give the Warriors fits. But, you know, I mean, they were tough tonight, but they didn't really give the Warriors, like, fits. You never at no moment felt like the Warriors were, like, in trouble. And partly because they, I guess in hindsight, they don't have a really good option for Steph Curry. They were leaving, like, Suggs by himself, which is wild. And that's kind of, like, number one. But
Suggs is not, like,
No, he's not bad, but it's like, I mean, come on. There's a reason people trap him.
I agree with that. You know, maybe that's, you know, blame Jamal Mosley's game plan, although this is one of the better defensive teams in the league.
No, they're good. That's what I'm saying. They do it well. Like, it'll be like they do Suggs a lot. They do a lot of Anthony Black. Like, these are, like, really good on-ball defenders.
And I think
you don't see people
do
one-on-one.
I agree. Some of them, maybe we're talking ourselves into, hey, this might have been a good matchup for Steph and the Warriors, because – I can understand Orlando being like, yeah, this is a good Jalen Suggs game. Get him, you know, it's so early in their growth process that, like, probably better for the long-term growth of this core is, like, let's leave Jalen Suggs on Steph Curry all game and see how he handles it. So, yeah, you didn't see some of the unique trapping and, you know, get it out of his hands type stuff, which you know, allowed Steph to get off a little bit more. So maybe we've convinced ourselves this was a good matchup for the Warriors.
No, yeah, I mean, to me, that was, like, in hindsight, that's the only thing where it's like, well, you didn't see that stuff. And when you have that kind of, like, athletic wing, you know, like, Gary Harris is another good defender. Like, you know, they've got, like, Wendell Carter is a good trapping big. So, you know, those are teams that kind of give the Warriors problems. Remember, it was, like, Cleveland before. Minnesota's kind of like that. Where they put the one guy at the point of attack and have the help come. But the Warriors, like, they looked well. And I do think a big part of it, a massive part of it, was they actually played their athletes. I mean, if you look at the minutes, like, you can tell, they went athlete for athlete with
34.
Jonathan Kuminga, 34 minutes.
34 close, Trace Jackson Davis, how many he played?
23. Yeah, he played 23. GP2 was looking good. He only played like 10-30, but like he was out there. I mean, that second quarter, end of quarter, I think they outscored him by 8 when GP2 was on the floor. Like that was an important stretch. Like they matched them. They went after them. I thought that was actually a sign of how Steve Kerr has adapted and the Warriors have grown. So it was, to me, I think it was a big win. Like if you were to look at these games, I thought Orlando would be a game they lose. I would have thought they would beat Miami, especially without Butler and them. But then they have a tough time getting 2 out of Dallas, Orlando, and Denver. And, Orlando just gives them problems.
Yeah, I'd enter the night looking at the 5 games remaining on the homestand, which is tonight was Orlando, then it's Denver Thursday, Detroit Friday, Toronto Sunday, Pelicans to close it out. And it's like you needed at least 3-2. And certainly, I think over these next 4, forget the Pelicans game for a second, you need to go 3-1 because you're going to need to beat Denver. You need to beat Toronto, right? Those are bad Eastern Conference teams. So the Orlando game felt like the swing game. A 3-1 stretch over that 4 meant you would be 18-18, which starts trending back in the right direction. Whereas if you don't get the Orlando game tonight, you got a chance to maybe follow up a 5-game win streak with a 5-game losing streak, right? Because we're just looking at Dallas Thursday. So, yeah. It did kind of feel like a swing game during this stretch, and that's why we're probably discussing it like a bigger win than it, before the season, if you just pinpointed this game on the schedule, like Orlando at home in the middle of a homestand, you're like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's a whatever game. They'll probably win it. It won't matter. Like, kind of felt like it mattered a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think this is one of those teams that gives them problems. I do feel like they – kind of play to the matchup though, and that helped them out. It wasn't like we're just gonna do our thing and hopefully it works. It was like, nah, this is one of them teams we play against that gives us problems. So that's
long
answer.
Gone, huh? Yeah, that's so over. Much has happened this season.
That's over. But to me, this was one of those games where it was like, okay, like I think we talked about this before, where it's like it may be like a game to game, situation to situation, matchup to matchup. The lineup changes and the rotation change based on who they're playing. This was the athlete game. I think Orlando beat them twice last year, right?
I remember they definitely, I'm failing to remember the home game, but I know they beat them in Orlando because I remember that was part of that horrible 0-5 road trip to start the year. Suggs hit 2 huge threes down the stretch. Clay missed the runner. They were just, that was like in between that horrible Charlotte loss and the Detroit loss, and it was just they haven't won in Orlando
they beat them in, they won by 14 in Golden State too. This is a team that has the Warriors number. Like this is a team the Warriors struggling with. Oh, Steph didn't play in that game.
The home game.
Yeah, he didn't play. I think he was hurt. So Jordan Poole was leading.
Oh, no.
Show.
What was it?
5-17 for Jordan Poole. 21 points. Andrew Wiggins. Woo! Andrew Wiggins was -22 in that game. Ouch.
You read the Poole stat line. I was like, sounds like a Wizards Magic game.
I know, right? 33 minutes for Anthony Lamb, who took 20 shots a game high. 20 shots.
What? How many did he make?
He made 9. He was 9-for-20. He had 26 points off the bench, 5-for-14 from 3.
It's funny you say that. I actually, now that you mentioned that, I remember that game because Anthony Lamb was like scorching hot in the first quarter. Yeah. I actually remember that. Yeah, oh, man, what a season.
What a season.
And I was talking to somebody today. It's like, are we sure they're better this season? They might be worse.
I mean, a lot of it is similar, right? A lot of it is similar, which is why if you just look at the teams that gave him a problem last year, you could almost see the teams that are giving problems this year, right? Remember, I mean, Minnesota is one of them teams they had a tough time with, right? It was just, I think they got blown out in Minnesota. Like, you can look at last year and see what gives them problems. It's the same things that gives them problems. So Orlando, I'm looking at, like, this one is going to be tough just because of how hard Orlando plays. But to me, I think the big deal tonight was that Steph played well, and they're just a dramatically different team when he's doing his thing. Like, it's a game changer. It's the difference maker. They're mid when he's not playing well. They're, like, actually probably pretty below average team when he's not playing well. They're a dramatically different team when he's playing well. It changes everything. And that's where you get kind of the hope of, oh, they could be dangerous. They could be, you know, when he's playing well, when he looks like he did tonight.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, part of it, as we talked about, was Orlando's coverages. But I think a lot of it, like, he just looked energized tonight. You know, 2 days off. They've been at home now for, like, a more extended stretch. So maybe that's part of it. You know, I think Kuminga had a really nice night. He'd probably be, like, number two guy to identify. You mentioned it, 34 minutes, closed the game. This is a kind of a sparkling matchup for him. We both know he, like, very much, like, watches his peers across the league, the guys that are about his age, and certainly the guys in his draft class. I think it's not a secret to anyone that the Warriors at number seven were deciding between Franz Wagner and Kuminga. And, you know, to most NBA analysts at this point, the belief is the Warriors made a mistake, right? I mean, that opinion is obviously very much out there. Wagner's had a better start to his career. He's obviously played more. And Wagner had a nice night. I don't know. You might have the stats up. You know, he finished with, I think, like 21 or so. But, you know, Kuminga, Kerr mentioned it postgame. He said Kuminga wasn't up in the ball against Wagner as much as he should have been in the first half. Changed that in the second half. He did have a good defensive second half. He only fouled twice. He had two blocks. He had that pin block he kind of had coming over was really nice. Then the 19 points, a lot at the rim. That's where he matters most for this team. You know, he only hit 1-3 and scored 19 points. To me, that's the type of night they like. There are times where he has 19 where it's like, oh, he just like happened to hit 4 threes, where it's not like the healthy shot diet that you necessarily want for him. And tonight it was pretty much everything. It was at the rim or at the free throw line. So really, you know, encouraging. In a stretch, I think overall, some games have been better than others, obviously. But I would say if you pinpoint Draymond Green's suspension, so we can say the last 10 games, because tonight was game 10 of that, I think this has been a very good Kuminga stretch.
Yeah, I thought he was great. And I would 1,000% take advantage of that. You know he gets up for those games. The Franz Wagner's, who I think was taking one pick after him, right? The Josh Giddey, who was a pick ahead of him. The Scotty Barnes. Like, those are all Jaylen the guys that Green. He kind of measures himself against. Jaylen Green, yeah. Those are guys he measures himself against. You know he doesn't want to play well. Like, let him go be aggressive. I feel like
I'll give you another one. There was two of them on the floor tonight. The number one pick in his draft, Paolo Banchero, who for a while he was being projected to be drafted right next to or ahead of. Because remember, Kuminga was one of those top five. That's the thing I think we forget sometimes about the context of his situation. Coming into
seven was a fall, right? Seven was a drop.
Seven was a tumble.
Yeah.
It was that draft. I would say entering the year, he was considered like probably top three range. By the time the end of like college basketball and the G League Ignite season ended, it was like, well, whatever. This is a five player draft, and Kuminga is one of the five players. So yeah, seven was a fall. So but he looks at Banchero, he looks at Wagner. That's why it's such an interesting team for him to go against. Like, these are the guys. I'm sure, in his opinion, he still believes like he can be a better pro then.
And his 2+ years have been spent like, you know, not playing, you know, being on the winning team. He does have a championship, but they have all the minutes. They get all the accolades. They get all the attention. And Kuminga's kind of having to be patient, like learn the little things, like running the floor, rebounding, that type of stuff. But it felt like in this game, like he was free to be him. Interestingly, he had all five of the Warriors' fast break points. And I think they got killed in fast break as usual. But
I was just corrected by a listener. Who was right? Banchero was the year after. Suggs was in Kuminga's draft, though.
Because
Orlando had two picks. For some reason, I mixed it up and thought they got Banchero. That's wrong. But, yeah, it was still a five-player draft. And, you know, Suggs was right up there, too.
So. Yeah, because Banchero was the – was that the Chet draft?
Yes, Banchero was Chet, Jabari Smith. the draft I'm thinking of was Jalen Green at 2, Cade Cunningham at 1. It was that draft. But anyway.
Yes. So, yeah, the 5 fast break points the Warriors had, they were 2 for 6 in transition. The 2 makes was Kuminga. Like, he got out, got a 3-point play in transition. Steph hit him. Like, but he's the guy that can run with those guys. And he played a smart game. He made some good passes. He 1 for 5 from threes. Probably too many threes on a night. He doesn't have it, but, you know. I feel well, like
he hit his he first. Remember, his three was like in the opening minute or minutes, and then But anyway, no, I agree.
He was good. I thought he was really good. He played. Now here's the thing: can he play 30 minutes next game?
Well,
he's that, never played back to back 30s,
which is a stat you love, and it's still interesting. I love it. I'm surprised you do. You'll mention it every time. Well, here's the thing. Wiggins only plays 21. Wiggins was actually, you know, he wasn't bad.
He was solid.
He was okay. But again, it's like there's a clear hesitancy to overlap them too much. They were on the floor at times together, but still, like, mostly they weren't. And so part of Kuminga getting consistent 30 minutes per game is, like, even on nights where Wiggins, they feel like Wiggins needs to be on the floor, like, can they find combinations to get them together? I don't know.
Well, I think the minutes when they did play together, like they didn't go to GP2. So tonight, I think GP2 was playing well. So I think some of the reasons he went to that.
Well, let's just talk about that because Gary Payton gets injured again. You know, second game back from the calf, and he injures his hamstring, kind of like navigating over a screen, grabs at it. You could tell he knew right away it wasn't something he could play on, right? He almost seemed like he tried to limp up the court a little bit, like, can I? And then realized he couldn't. You see him, like, grab his headband, like, rip it off and, like, throw
it. Yeah, it looked like he was about to throw it and caught himself.
That's when you know, like, a guy in his mind is like, I am about to miss a chunk of time.
Yeah.
You know, that, and went right to the locker room pretty quickly.
He was, like, biting his jersey as he went down the tunnel. Like, he was just, like, he was so mad. You could tell. I was like, he knew it wasn't good.
Yeah, and pretty quickly they already announced, like, hamstring strain. You know, it was and when it's right out there like that, when a guy leaves a game,
I mean, he didn't even stop at the bench. Like, he walked straight. He was like,
it was like he knew, like, and here is another month rehab. You know, it was like kind of one of those. And again, I'm not saying it's a month. I don't know what it is. It'll depend on the grade. It'll probably depend on tests that they'll do tomorrow. You know, they'll likely just do the whole, like, reevaluate in X amount of time, but. Gary Payton's going to be out again. And, you know, at this point, it's tough to rely on him to give them long stretch of consistent availability right now, which, you know, it's not good for them. I mean, you know, he's in the middle of you know, a decent contract. And he's clearly still a very impactful player when he plays. I mean, you mentioned it, but can't really talk about him being a part of the rotation because he's just been unable to be.
Yeah, it's tough too because it's so clear, like, even with all of the bodies they have and all of the options and his offensive limitations, it's still so very clear he just knows how to impact games. Like, when it was Luka, like, he was the one who you could tell he had a plan for Luka. Tonight they were running the 3-guard setup with him, Podziemski and Curry, and they were like, and he's like at the point of attack of the zone, and like he's rebound, like he just knows how to win. He knows how to play with Steph. He knows how to impact the game, like in a very Podziemski type of way, except a little, except he has more athleticism. It's weird because you see, like, you got Wiggins and Kuminga, Podziemski, but and you know TK, we talk about it too, where it's like it's gonna be hard for him to play. But he's going to be one of those dudes. He's going to keep finding his way on the court because he just does all of those things. Like, he does so many of the little things. And also, he's the best on-ball defender they have. It's not even close. Like, he gives people the most problems, even more than Wiggins, even more than Kuminga. Like, he is just an uncomfortable guy to be defended by. So, yeah. But, you know, if he keeps missing time, it keeps opening up slots for him, for other people. So, to me, that's where you get the Wiggins minutes. But I think it's a blow. They need players like that. You know, you need them on a road, right? You need them when a player is hot. It's a great weapon to have that, you know, they might not have for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, because really going back to – we can go all the way back to when he won the job from, you know, from Avery Bradley in that preseason. He was, like, basically had to play through an abdomen or an adductor, like, hernia-type issue because he had to make the team, right? Avery Bradley was going to make the team over him. He pushed through that, plays that season – kind of in and out of the lineup, but the body really, you know, the injuries really started to pile up really on that Dylan Brooks foul in the playoffs, right? The broken elbow to the offseason surgery to the issues he had in Portland coming back from that to coming back to the Warriors last season. And I think, you know, part of it is just style of play, right? Just the way he, like, flies around and the quick twitch stuff and the leaping and, you know, he's old.
He's not young. Yeah, he's not young.
That's the thing. Yeah, he's into his 30s now, which, you know, I think surprises a lot of people because he's only been in the NBA consciousness a few years. But at this point, he's kind of got to be viewed, I think, as a it's why he doesn't play heavy minutes ever, right? Even when he's available, you never see him like, oh, 33 minutes for Gary Payton.
Yeah, not unless it's like the playoffs or finals or something, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, yeah, you just – I mean, it's a Rick Celebrini, like, major task, right, just to try to guide him back and keep him there and definitely have him there when it matters. But part of when it matters is they're going to have to get to games that matter probably mostly without him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it's probably he's going to be one of those pieces that will be you need him healthy in the playoffs. You need him healthy as much as you can during the season, obviously. But in the playoffs, he'll be a good wild card piece. Like, you just need him. You need to preserve him. I mean, obviously, they got to make it, right? But, like, that's his grand value. You know, it would be better. I think life would be a lot easier if they had him during the regular season. But like, I mean, he's shown as good as he is. You know, I'm a big GP2 guy. He just doesn't stay healthy. Like, he doesn't. And it's almost like why you draft, you know, the presence of a guy like Podziemski is important because he's like a light version of that. Like, the things he does. There was a point today where GP2 is kind of like he takes a three, right? And he misses it. And the long rebound goes back out to him. And I don't think I could remember time. Not only does he drive and creates the shot, but he takes this like soaring kind of outstretched right-handed layup. And it was like, you don't really see him attack the basket like that. It was unique. It was a unique play for him. You know, normally he's like getting the ball and looking for Steph, but yeah. He just went and took it on his own. And I'm like, if he starts doing stuff like that, man,
I think he just did it because he saw Gogo Batate. You know, that's the guy he had that dunk on.
That's right. Yeah, that is right. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's interesting. So, but yeah, that's gonna be a blow. But you know what? They've got a player who gives him some of that, but he just can't get in the game right now.
I believe you're talking about Moses Moody, who got his second straight DMP, I think.
Yeah.
I had two more topics I wanted to discuss. Both podium sound bites from various points of the night. Klay Thompson post game, you listened to it. You know, so Steve Kerr has the, after the loss to Dallas, has his kind of subliminal, but, you know, pretty stern critique of really his entire roster, right? In the way, you know, again, I mean, we talked about it the other night, but it was like the whole personal agendas thing, basically, and the need for an all-in winning approach. And we even talked about it on the podcast that, you know, was partially at least directed at Klay Thompson. And then Klay Thompson reveals a post-game tonight, after a solid Klay Thompson game, he was in some foul trouble early. I thought he had a good second half. But that yesterday, him and Steve Kerr sit down and have this, like, you know, pretty meaningful conversation basically about fixing his negative energy and his vibe and learning to appreciate all he's done and all that's still ahead of him, but also, like, you know, this is, in some ways, the last chapter of a career. He said last chapter, which, you know, was kind of an interesting way to term it.
Yes, it was.
And just the need for him to, like, you know, be a better mentor and help guide this next era of Warriors, you know, in a better way than he has. And, I mean, we all see it with Klay and just who he is. It's predictable, but, right, you know, when he's in the slumps this year, the brooding around, being upset at times when he gets subbed out of the game, kind of, you know, just, you know, pouting, you know, whatever you want to call it. And we'll see if it improves. You know, it's tough for Klay, if he's missed four straight shots, not to be upset and kind of, you know, bring this negative vibe to the situation. But I did think it was a very interesting soundbite, even if it's not going to be obvious how much of a changed man he might be. What did you think?
Yeah, it was definitely Klay, right? He's one of the guys who has always been willing to do that, just be vulnerable and be, like, you know, in a sense, authentic. I thought it was revealing. The last chapter part was wild. The be a better mentor stuff, like, you just don't hear players say, you don't hear players talk like that. The odd part is tonight you could see him, like, sitting on the side during the huddle while the team is huddled. He's still, like, stewing about, like, whatever foul trouble
it was. His foul, yeah. After he committed, I believe, his second in the first quarter, it might have been his third in the second quarter, but yeah, he was, like, hitting the bench. He was, like, backhand, like, elbowing the bench.
Yeah, and then Moody is, like, trying to be like, hey, man, you want to, you know, you want to see this? And Klay just is, like, stone face looking ahead. So it's odd that, like, watching that, I mean, he's clearly, like, frustrated, and then hearing him say this after the game, it kind of shows how it's, like, a work in progress. It's not easy for him. But so for him to say that and almost, like, make himself accountable was pretty, like, hey, that was.
Yeah, very publicly, by the way. Very publicly. It is interesting, but it is Klay because it's, you know, he gets benched in Phoenix and, like, he is over there on the bench, like, you know, kind of yelling towards the coaches, hitting, like, cup racks over, like, clearly quite upset that he got benched really for the first time ever in crunch time. But then post-game, he's talking about, oh, well, I agree with the decision. I'll always trust Steve Kerr. Like, he always kind of – I think when the direct heat of the battle is away from him, he always does kind of have the right team mindset. It's what we talked about at times this year, you know, me, you, and Tim have been talking about, like, you know, can he take it? He does really protect the sanctity of the team, but he also just cannot hide the competitive fire when he's out there.
He can't. He cannot.
He just really can't.
Yeah, and that's why I always felt like he would be able to handle it. Like, even though it feels like I don't know that that's what Steve was doing, but it definitely felt like there was this idea of like protecting Clay. You don't know how he's going to respond, but you know, Clay want to win.
Yeah.
Like he's always been that. I always felt like he could handle it. Just sit down and tell him the tough truth. Like, hey man, you wasn't playing well. I feel like he could handle it.
He just, like, but he's
sure
also,
he can.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's a lot, like he can really handle it well, like in the conversations with Matt. That's where I think I never have expected him to be an issue. Like during the off days, during the, like, even in the locker room at halftime or like post game, it's more in the, within the game.
It's in the moment, because, yeah.
Yeah. Even when you're like, hey, Clay, you know, it should all be about winning. Well, Clay Thompson's like default of, well, if it's all about winning, put me out there, let me shoot every time. Like, you know, like that'll help us win the most.
Like, what you think I'm talking about? I'm talking about winning over here. Like,
yeah. But, yeah.
I do feel like, though, there is a part, and this is where I think the genius of Steve Kerr comes in. Like, I just think people miss how difficult this is. You got a guy who's won four championships. He's been through two massive injuries. And he wants nothing more than to reclaim the prime of his career. And somebody's got to get to him, right? You know what I'm saying? Like
somebody who he trusts. That's and by difficult. The way, that's not...
And you got to earn his trust, circle. Right? Like, you got to be in position to have earned his trust to even have the conversation. And you got to get this guy to say, hey, man, essentially, like, you're never going to be that guy again, but there's a really good version of you waiting whenever you're ready to adjust. Like, that's
I have a question, Marcus.
That's a delicate and difficult conversation.
How many people in the world can have that conversation with him?
Like with six, Clay? Yeah.
Five?
Yeah, man. It's a lot. Five's a lot. Yeah. I mean, how many? I think three of them in that locker room.
That's what I mean. And then, you know, maybe his brother.
Curry, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Draymond. Remember, Draymond was the one who talked to him last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andre Iguodala, maybe.
Yeah. Mikey could probably do it.
Yeah.
Like, Mikey, and big bro, say, hey, man, this is what it is.
We're nearing the end of the list at this point.
Yeah, it's a very short list. So. But that's a major deal. And if you can do that, right, if you can get Clay to start transitioning into the next 4 years of his career and what type of player he's going to be and what those shots look like and how does he get there and the importance of putting his arm around the younger players, you know, that type of stuff. If you can get that, there's a value there that Clay will have that's going to matter for the next iteration.
Yeah, I mean, it's what a lot of, like, fading stars go through in, like, the transitional phase. I think Russell Westbrook's been a really good example of the last couple of years where there's been times where you're like, this guy's going to be out of the league. And then I do think he's rediscovered himself in the Clippers situation.
And part of that, look at them. Yeah, they're taking off. He's incredible. He's like he does so good off the bench. He's like he's like an evolved player. And he still does a lot of the same things, but just mindset, situation, like, you know, he just looks like a great teammate out there, right? Like, it's unbelievable. To me, there's another era of Clay Thompson, but Steve's got to get him there. And that's not easy to pull off, especially for somebody who's had the success that these guys have had. Like, that's not easy to do, and there's not that many people who
can
do
it. Agree that you're right to kind of call out, like, there are reasons Steve Kerr is, you know, one of the most respected coaches in the league, and will, you know, be one of the most high, you know, the highest paid coaches, you know, when he signs his next contract. And it is, you know, beyond the rotations and the stuff that I think gnaws at fans at times on a nightly basis. It is the very delicate balance that this locker room can be, and you know, this is kind of an example in the category, the rare category of what he can do just from a management standpoint.
Hey, side note, I want to buy these like Gotham Steel pans on TV, but first off, these TV things always feel like they never what they crack up to be.
You watching like late night infomercials right now?
Yeah, I mean, ESPN is on, but they got the Gotham pants. These pants look amazing, bro. Like the copper and everything. But then also, my wife is like a I don't know what you call it, kitchen appliance. Like she's kind of bougie with it. And I got a feeling if I order these things, she's going to be like, man, get these things. Gotham, get out of here. Because, you know, she like Williams Sonoma and Le Creuset and all that stuff. And I'm
what
like,
you can do is just not order them and never think about them again.
I mean, they're on TV and they look cool, man. Dude made an omelet and just slid off. I was like, I want one of those. All right, my bad. That was just a side note, my fault.
Last subject I wanted to talk about. Tonight was the 10th game of Draymond Green's indefinite suspension. We're into January now. At the start of the suspension, we can go back to L.A. when Mike Dunleavy was talking to reporters. It was made clear that Draymond Green was permitted by the NBA to be around the Warriors as much as he wanted to be. He could practice with them. He could have been practicing with them the last few weeks. You know, there was talk then that like, especially like for that weekend, there was an expectation that, you know, that, like he'd be away from the team. But it seemed like they were indicating, you know, he would make his way back to the facility in San Francisco and be around at least some, you know, and there'd be some type of schedule. He just isn't, which, you know, there's not like no reason has been given to me. I'm not sitting here trying to like give a reason. It's just a fact. He's hasn't been around. Steve Kerr says there's no at least current direct clear plan to have him around. The suspension remains indefinite. Maybe it, you know, gets lifted at some point very soon. Obviously, there's stuff beyond the court that he's going through with the league to get the clearance eventually to return. But there has not been much detail from the Warriors or communication, it seems. So I don't know. I mean, today felt like a little bit of a landmark because there was, you know, it's been a 10-game suspension now, and also Steve Kerr, you know, pretty, you know, tersely, you might say, responded to questions pregame. That's like essentially like, nope, no update, not really around. Let's move on to the next update.
Didn't he say something like he's giving us space and we're giving him space?
Yeah, that was probably the most, I don't know, none of the quotes for that revealing, but that was probably the one that sticks out the most, the headliner.
We're giving him his space and he's giving us our space.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he's giving us ours.
It seems to me like, wow, the suspension is indefinite. There's some clear, unofficial number of games that's clearly bigger than 10.
I don't. Yes, you're right. But.
Because why would the Warriors be fine with not knowing when he's ever coming back?
Well, what's.
Like, could it be 6 months? Could he come back after the All-Star break? You know what I'm saying? Like.
What's notable to me, though, is like, he could have just. He could be around the team right now. Like, he could. I'm just saying it's allowed. Like, he could be in practices. And, like, they don't have a bunch of high intensity practices, but. And we'll see. Maybe he comes back and he's been, you know, he's in great shape. He's just ready to go right away. But, like, you know, my assumption going into this was you were going to really start to see him be around and get a ramp up as we get closer. And maybe that's the answer. We're not close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just felt like a day to kind of like, we should probably reassess the fact that the starting power forward and maybe the second most important player on the team just remains without a return date. It's a different situation than the Andrew Wiggins stuff last year, right? Obviously. But it's starting to feel a little similar. Remember how just like off to the side the entire organization put it for so long? And I would just have to ask for updates every 5 games and nothing really material would come from it. But it was still like, this feels like a big factor, the fact that Andrew Wiggins is just not here. Well, it's kind of feeling like that with this group, Draymond suspension.
I mean, if they're all serious about him getting help, then, you know, that's kind of the thing that has to take its course.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like they already know, you know, at some point it's going to be this amount of games about this amount of time. And to me, that was the my personal opinion is that was the danger the whole time of the ruling, and why I was shocked that the NBA PA went on board with it, and the Warriors went on board with it. It's because it's like, I'm assuming these are like unpaid games he's missing, but if it's paid, then it's definitely. No.
It's not paid.
It's not paid. That's what I was
like. Not only is it not paid, Draymond's losing a lot of money, but the Warriors are also saving a bunch of tax.
So it's like, yeah, if it's, I was like, man, if there's no end in sight to this, and he's losing money, or it's like, at some point, how do we know this might not? Like, what if it's the rest of the season? And then it starts becoming, was this a fair punishment based on a crime? To me, that's just why it's so unclear.
I think we're starting to get closer to that question. I mean, 10?
Yeah, it's like, could this be 25 games? And it's like, okay, he got 25 games for that? Like, that's insane. Why is everybody okay with this? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or is it going to be for the rest of the season? Like, I don't know. So, to me, it feels like, while we don't know what it is, somebody behind the scenes know that there's a number. And also, if Draymond's not getting paid, that means, you know, Rich Paul is probably not going to be okay with that too, right? So,
yeah.
And so, to me, it just feels like there's something that we don't know, and there's an understanding we don't have. But you know, as we talked about this earlier, like, you know, just talking about it, I was reminded that I've heard a couple of guys in the locker room say that they've talked to Draymond.
Yeah, Chris Paul said it on the record the other night. You know, and Steve said tonight he's texted with them. So I'm not saying there's just been, like, absolutely no communication. It's just...
No, it just reminded me, like, I think there's an understanding that hasn't been made public yet. Like, all right, yeah, you're going to do 15 games. You're going to come back at about this time and whatever, you know. Like, it feels like something like that's happening. Because otherwise, especially if you're trying to win... And that's clearly what the Warriors value, right? unless he's in some like serious, intense, I'm changing who I am type deal. Like, I don't understand why everybody would just be fine with no solution at all. And who's even determining this? Who's monitoring it? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we're just taking space for him. You say, like, what does that even mean? So this is. Whenever people feel like coming back, like, like, how does this work? And why is this all okay? Like, why is everybody signing off on this? It's very confusing to me. That's why I think something behind the scenes has already been kind of unofficially established.
Agreed. All right, Marcus, appreciate you doing this.
So no Moses Moody? Dang, man. He don't get no minutes on the game. He don't get no time on the pod. Like, dang.
We mentioned that he might take some of Gary's vacant minutes. But, you know, when you get DMTs, we don't need to go too deep into it. He'll be a subject for another day. Maybe Thursday. Maybe Friday. Maybe next time we do a pod. Nuggets on Thursday. Pistons on Friday. What is that, 1-1 to you?
2-0.
Oh, okay. That's a take. All right. Well, we will see if Marcus is right Thursday night. The defending champs.
They're winning the rest of this homestand. Book it.
Okay. Wow. That's another take. All right.
Ooh, that's wild.
Yeah. With this team right now, yeah, that's.
I know. That's strong. Wild.
All right. We will talk to you later.
All right. Deuces.